with Gary and saying thanks for your partnership. Everything we do, as the message trust, is in partnership. You know, and our key partners are local churches. I made a vow a few years ago that we're never going to plant a message church. We don't need more denominations, do we? You know, 56,000 is probably enough to get the job done. What we need is people who will come together with a purpose and a vision and a passion. And there's only going to be one denomination in heaven, and it's not even going to be a denomination. It's going to be the Church of Jesus. And until we get there, we really need to work together, don't we? And I love Gary's faith, and I love Gary's optimism at the moment. And there's something powerful about that. And something we bring to the mix, I think, is a little bit of that faith and expectation that God's not finished with us yet. When Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, he wasn't just talking about Africa and Asia and China and all the remarkable things that are happening around the world. He was talking about Wales. God's got a plan for Wales. And right now it might feel a bit like sowing into hard ground. But I believe that we will see a season when it's like sowing into soft ground, where we see more responses, we see more disciples. And our absolute kind of touchstone scripture at the message is Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 21. Beautiful verses. That 32 years ago, well before we'd started the charity, myself and my brother Simon, two young guys in our 20s, had the idea that we were going to organise Manchester's biggest ever youth mission. Yeah, as if you two could do that. You know, we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the connection. We just had a heart for young people. And we decided we were going to write to every church in Manchester and book the biggest rock venue for a week and plan hundreds of build-up events. And amazingly enough, God showed up, blessed it, and we did organize Manchester's biggest ever youth mission, even though we didn't know what we were doing. And God was so kind. But the night we had the idea, I went home, like, initially full of faith, and then every ounce of faith drained out of me. You ever had that experience? And I sat in my bed and I was like, oh, God, as if me and Simon could do this. We feel called. We've got a passion. We've got a heart, especially for broken young people. And Manchester, 32 years ago, was literally one of the hardest places on earth to do mission. You know that? We were losing people faster than just about anyone on earth, any city and any territory. Young people were hemorrhaging from the church. When we had the idea to do the Message 88, we were going to call it, I went to see the Bishop of Manchester. And I said, Bishop, me and my brother have got a great idea. We're going to do this monster mission and see thousands of kids come to Christ. You know what the Bishop of Manchester said to me? God bless you, young man. I love your enthusiasm, but I can't really help you because I oversee 364 churches and I can't think of a single lively youth work. Wow, what a thing. You know, by far the biggest denomination and there was literally nothing going on. Well, hey, it's not been full-blown revival in Manchester, but it's a very, very different landscape. And the church is growing, and it's mainly amongst young people. And, you know, our largest church in Manchester 32 years got about 300 people in. Well, there's multiple churches now with over 1,000. And there's one with about 4,000 in Manchester. The church is growing again, and faith has come in. And the Message Trust has played a part in that. We haven't been the silver bullet, but people have started to work together. And looking what's happened in Manchester gives me a lot of faith for South Wales. You know, if we can just keep at it, keep going, that we will see what it's like to sow into soft ground. And, you know, all over the world, there are people who are experiencing that. And I long to experience it here. So anyway, I went to home. Every ounce of faith drained out of me. I said, oh God, please speak to me through your Bible if you want us to step out in faith like probably we never have done before. And praise God, my set reading for the day was Isaiah 43. And particularly verses 18 to 21 have become our absolute touchstone scriptures. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? There'll be rivers in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals will honor me. Those are formed to declare my praise. And really, that's everything I want the message to be. I want us to be this pioneering, the Christian word is apostolic movement. You know, I want us to be a do not perceive it movement that prays a lot. And my job is to make sure we're intensive in our prayer and passionate in our prayer and focused in our prayer so we perceive the new things that God's doing. But I also want us to be a rivers in the desert movement. You know, dry places coming to life and a wild animals will honor me. Those are formed to declare my praise movement. You know, the hardest to reach young people going from the problem to the answer. and it's happening, and we're seeing it. And I often say to people, I've stopped praying for revival because some of what we're seeing is revival. We're just not seeing enough revival. You know, some of the gangsters who are turning their lives around and now men and women of God, that's a Jesus thing, that's a revival thing. Some of the schools that are opening up and thousands of kids hearing good news, it feels a bit like revival, but we want more of it, don't we? So if you would join with us and pray and support this work, it would mean so much to us. And on your chairs, you've got a card. I'd love it if everybody would fill one of those in and just hand it in to Autumn Louise at the back before you leave. And she's got pens there. And please feel free to multitask. And just if you fill this card in, we'll just keep you up to speed with our prayer information. It's no point in having big dreams for new buses and new prisons work and new schools ministry and growing the work unless we grow the foundation of prayers. And if you would stand with us in prayer, you'll receive all sorts of power-packed testimonies and encouragement if you fill that card in. So please do that and hand it in at the back at the end. So we did the Message 88. We did it again in Message 89. I then formed a band with a mate of mine. I couldn't rap, sing or dance, but I ended up fronting this band that ended up performing to well over 1 million people face to face. And God just did a beautiful thing. And I loved it so much that then I left the business and set up the charity. We called it The Message to Schools, because that's all we did. One band going into schools. And initially we had one person employed. And God's blessed it, and we've grown the work in Manchester. We have about 130 staff now in Manchester, delivering multiple programs. And about 7 years ago, we lifted our eyes and started to look around the UK at other places where there's great deprivation. If you look at a map of the UK, and there is a map on a government website, with all the toughest places highlighted in the darkest colour, inevitably. And guess what? South Wales has some of the most difficult, some of the most challenging neighbourhoods in the whole of the UK. And that's why we're here. Yeah, we want everyone to be blessed. We want to have a special focus on the hardest to reach. And that's the Message Trust. And if you like the sound of that, please pray for us. We do three things. Maybe I've got a little slide here that'll help. We do three things. The first thing we do is creative mission. The band I was in used to be called the Worldwide Message Tribe. Fortunately for everybody, I've stopped rapping. And we now have 10 schools teams who go out. One of them was in Swansea. These amazing young evangelists called Soulbox this week. Beautiful things happening in Swansea. And next year, the next slide, we've got plans. It actually says over 200,000. I think conservatively we'll be face-to-face next year with over 250,000 young people. And they'll all hear the good news. And we'll see, I'm confident, multiple thousands, potentially tens of thousands of decisions for Christ. And the reason we want you to pray is because we want those decisions to become disciples. You know, we don't just want 200 young people praying and receiving a Bible on Friday night and being encouraged to go to church. We want them to go on and become multiplying disciples. I've seen it happen in places. I've seen it happen in my own church, my home church. I've seen that multiplication when young people get really fired up. Do it again, Lord. We use this work in schools as we go into high schools all over the UK, and a special focus on three big seasons of mission in Wales. The second thing we do is what we call community transformation projects. Because the goal of the message, the goal of the church, is not filling up buildings. It's society being filled. It's the transformation of the kingdom. And so, yes, Gary mentioned we have these buses, we do prisons work. And perhaps the thing we're best known for, guess what, Eden Church, is something called Eden. And my colleague put this on our wall. He didn't even ask me. He just put it up, and I'm glad he did. We've got that next slide. These are the names of the first 623 Eden workers, people who've become downwardly mobile and chosen to live in the UK's most deprived communities. A whole bunch of them living in tough communities, kind of anonymously, invisibly serving and sharing the good news in some very deprived places. And it's beautiful to see these neighborhoods improve and to see places that were previously spiritual wastelands come into life. We've done 72 Eden teams thus far in many of the UK's most deprived communities. This year we've got a plan to every month launch a new Eden team. Every 3 days, somebody moves in makes that life decision. I mean, it's the biggest urban missions movement since the early days of the Salvation Army. And Gary was doing all his recruiting. I tell you, the thing I'd love most of all, yes, we do want a guy to head up the prison's work. Yes, we do want a new bus manager. Yes, we do want street pass. The thing I'd love most of all is somebody in this church to say, could I join an Eden team? Guess what? Yes, you can. You can move in as part of a team to one of the Wales' most deprived neighbourhoods and serve there. Precious, precious work. Following Jesus, of course, who left a beautiful place and came to quite an ugly place because of his great love. I don't think Simon will mind me saying that. I've said it now anyway, so it's tough. Sorry about that. And then the final bit of the jigsaw puzzle is what we call Christ-centered enterprise. And this is going to be a year where we're looking at planting businesses in Wales, not so we can make money, so we can make disciples. So the young men you've heard about who've committed their life to Christ in Park Prison, so we can meet them at the gate and we can give them a home, lots of wraparound support. We can also give them a job and train them, because people would say those young men are unemployable. No, they're not. We're finding them very employable once Jesus has changed their heart, and we're giving them the training and support they've never had. And so we have 9 businesses in Manchester. We're just launching a cafe in Covent Garden on one of Britain's best streets, where run by ex-offenders. And I love this next slide, because if you go through a government program, 28.6% of adults and 40.4% of juveniles, which is primarily the cohort we work with, will end up reoffending. Within 2 years, the majority of people who come out of prison end up back inside, and often for worse crimes than they were nicked for in the first place. In other words, probation is so broken. If you go through a message trust program, when we're confident it'll be the same in Wales as we launch Enterprise this year, the statistic is 2%. And it's saving millions of pounds, but more importantly, it's saving very broken lives. And that's not because we're smarter than probation. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. No, we're not. There's only one reason we can offer such amazing statistics. What's that reason? What's the reason?
Jesus.
Our Jesus can change the human heart, and he's the only one who can. And we see wild animals living lives that honor him. And it's the most precious thing in the world. And I hope you're excited. And I hope you think, I want to be part of that. I want to pray. And also, inevitably, I hope some of you may even want to support the message over and above what you give to this church. I'd love it if some of you were saying, yeah, I'm in. You know, inevitably, Gary's just said, we're taking on all these people. We're stepping out, stepping up schools work. We're developing enterprise. It can't run on fresh air. It needs God's people. And we will not take money off anybody who says we can't share Jesus. And that means we rely on the church. You know, largely, if they say, yes, do your great youth programs or your great enterprise, but don't tell them about Jesus, sorry, we don't want your money. And we have turned down money and turned down projects because we can't share our faith. Because if you remove that, we're never going to achieve what we want to achieve, which is Jesus glorified and heaven populated and broken people's lives turned around. Do you get me? So we do need Christians to stand with us. And regular giving is the absolute lifeblood of Message Wales. If you've got a heart for Wales, then what you give will stay in Wales to support our work here. We'd love you to consider that. And see Autumn Louise and Gary at the back there and sign up to regular support. And because partnerships, everything to us, we said that, we've produced these beautiful partner packs, which in these partner packs is lots of resources. We make all these resources at the Message to bless the body of Christ. It's like, well, let's get them out there then. And so if any amount, regular giving, because regular giving is important. Because if it hits you going regularly out of your bank every month, there's every chance it'll hit you in the prayer mat. You'll be praying and supporting. That's all our evidence. In this pack is my latest book, Here I Am, which is basically looking into the book of Isaiah, looking into Isaiah's call. What does it look like to serve God's purposes and join his adventurous call to serve the world? That's my new book. This is a book I love, Being the Message. I've written about 3 chapters of it. The rest of our leadership team have tried to write down, for anybody who's interested, is there anything we've done in the last 27 years that means we've gone from a one-man band to, you know, one of the UK's largest charities and all the fruit we've seen? Well, yes, I think there is. And there's a chapter about keeping prayer hot and keeping mission hot and loving the urban poor and not taking yourself too seriously and having faith for finances. And our leadership team's written this. This beautiful book is written by our hardback book written by Tim Tucker, who heads up our work in Cape Town, South Africa. He tragically lost his wife at 38. She had a brain aneurysm. They went away on holiday and three little kids. Absolutely devastating story. But Tim's come out fighting. And 2 years later was able to read this, write this precious book, Grief and Grace. Almost everybody in this church this morning will have been touched by grief at some level. And you certainly will in the future. And you'll certainly know people who would be unbelievably blessed by this book. It's amazing. And then finally, my colleague Ben Jack has written this book, The Simple Gospel, Training Evangelists, to Multiply the Gift of the Evangelist. You'll love that book. But the best thing in here, and you get one a CD by one of our bands, which you probably won't like, but young people will, and you can give it to them. The best thing in here, though, is this. This is a little pen drive, and we're so blessed at The Message that we literally have some of the best communicators in the world coming through, firing up. You know, we've got a few hundred staff now who gather every month. So people like Brother Andrew and George Verver and Lewis Palau and Danielle Strickland and some of the best teachers on mission come through, and we've pulled the top 100 talks from the last 10 years and put them on a pen drive for you to listen to, share, produce, bootleg, do whatever you like. Get this mission teaching out into the church. So all that is if you're able to regularly support the work. Somebody said to me a little while ago, what's your favourite verse in the Bible? I wonder how you would answer. I bet everyone in this church would have a different answer to that question. And I thought for a moment, I'm guessing that every day I'd say a different thing. But that time when they asked me, I said, I think my favourite verse is Ephesians 3, verse 20, where the Bible, where Paul writing says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? Do you believe God's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine? It goes on to say in the verse, according to his power at work in us. So God's not only able to blow our minds by doing more than we can ask. Imagine what you could ask for Eden Church and the work of God across South Wales. Imagine what you could imagine. God's able to do immeasurably more than that. And he does it according to his great power in frail, ordinary, inconsistent people like me and you. That's his delight. I mean, you should be quite excited about that. The living God wants to work in you and through you and show his power and do more. And my testimony is, as I look back, you know, leaving the business 27 years ago and thinking, wow, you know, I've got this heart. And I look back, God has done way more than everything I could have asked or imagined. But year on year, he's also done it. As we set our plans and set our goals, and then God does more than we can ask or imagine again. And I want, in some ways, to try, and I hope the Holy Spirit will do this work this morning, stir up some faith and expectancy. Because the irresistible currency of heaven is faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, but anything is possible for the person of faith. It's possible for a spark, a seed of faith to be planted here in this church this morning, and suddenly you're in that realm of God doing immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. Don't you want to get there? Well, let's see what Paul said just a few verses before. He prayed for the people. He kind of almost like climbed a staircase bit by bit towards that place where he was operating in a higher realm. He prays for the people with expectancy and faith and prays God's blessing, particularly God's blessing in four areas that we'll look at, so we can maybe get to that place where we're ready to see God do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Let me read what Paul says. The prayer he prayed for the Ephesians, and I believe the prayer he would pray for us if he was preaching this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and from verse 17. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Sounds good, doesn't it? Paul says he wants you to be blessed in four areas so that you can be ready and equipped to be a person who sees God do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine, according to his power at work in you. He says he wants, 1, verse 16, for you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's what he says. That's what he prays. I pray you'll be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I mean, why would Paul pray that for a bunch of saints, a bunch of Christians, a bunch of people who receive the Holy Spirit? Because Paul knows for sure that every Christian isn't moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian isn't strengthened with power of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul prays that you and me, we would get to that place. We get to that unstoppable place. You see, as far as when I read my Bible, it's like even Jesus had to get to that place. In fact, my set little reading this morning was Luke chapter 4 in the Bible. And in Luke chapter 4, fascinatingly, you know, when Jesus goes into the desert for 6 weeks, scrapping with the devil, he receiving his calling, he's fasting, he's praying. In Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus went into the desert filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But 6 weeks later, the Bible says he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. People who are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit have received the calling. They've heard from the Lord and they're on the front foot of mission. This is a place, I believe, to get filled. That is a place to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. It could be said that church on a Sunday morning is a place to get filled. The Albion pub is a place to move in the power, if you like. You understand what I'm saying? The schools of Swansea and the streets of Tremorpha, as we go out in Jesus' name, we start to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to get to that place. Many Christians, I believe, aren't even filled with the Holy Spirit. They've just got this, what Paul calls in Ephesians chapter 1, deposit, guaranteeing their inheritance. They've got the deposit. They're like sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yes, the God's children, but they're not even filled. Can we please get filled this morning? Jesus says if you ask for this good thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and him dealing with your issues and your baggage, you get filled with the Holy Spirit in a place of repentance, turning away from what's holding you back and fixing your eyes on Jesus. And then please, can we this week move in the power of the Holy Spirit? Can we be strengthened with power tomorrow morning to be going to our workplace and be a witness for Christ, to embark with the mission of the church in fresh measure? Would you, God, let us be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner being? The second thing he says, I pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power in his Spirit and your inner being, so that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. Paul uses a botanical illustration and an agricultural illustration in order to make the point that what's going on underneath the ground is more important than what's happening on top. He says your foundations will be deep and your roots will be deep and wide. In other words, you'll be rooted and grounded in love. And there's a word for us this morning. It is important that what's going on underneath the ground is more impressive than what's going on above the ground. And when you're a loudmouthed evangelist from Manchester who goes around waving his arms at people and shouting about the vision of the message, man, I need to hear that. I need to be rooted in Christ. I need to have firm foundations in the Word and in my own personal prayer time and accountability with my brothers and sisters at the message, you know, so I can build something that honors Jesus. I need to have deep roots. Actually, God spoke to me when I was preparing this message as well. I don't only need to have deep roots into Christ. I need to have wide roots. You know, you've got that picture there of the redwoods in America. Anybody been there to see these amazing, the largest trees on earth? These amazing trees, big enough for a truck to drive through. And some of them, thousands of years old. They believe some of them even as old as 5,000 years, some of these trees, 350 feet tall. enormous, awesome trees, actually. You stand there and you look at this magnificent thing. Anybody been? Yes. Well, you've been blown away. Your mind's blown by the scale of this thing. Actually, redwood trees don't have the deepest roots. You would imagine, how can you even grow that tall? The answer is they have deep roots, but widely interconnected roots. Their roots can go 200 feet from the existing tree, interconnected with all the other redwoods, so that when the hurricane comes or the earthquake, they stand tall. You know, no amount of wind can take these babies out because they're interconnected. Do you get me? Their roots make them all strong. It's a picture of the body of Christ. Yes, we need to have deep roots, but we also have wide roots. We cannot get this job done on our own. One redwood tree, no matter how big Eden Church grows, is never going to get the job done. We need to be people who are interconnected with all our brothers and sisters. And I made this annoying decision a few years ago that I'm going to work with anybody who I believe I'm going to spend all eternity in heaven with. And some of those people are weirdos. And some of those people think I'm a weirdo. But actually, my job is to work with my brothers and sisters which there's a strong bond, a bond stronger than the bond of blood. Do you get me? We need to be people who have deep foundations in Christ. And you know that. And the greatest blessing you could get out of this morning, actually, is a fresh commitment to turn that alarm clock back. Fresh commitment to pray with your spouse before you go to work. Get in early and spend some time in the Word. I don't even put my blinds up at work until I've spent time in the Word. And I spend time with Michelle, I spend time on my own and time with my team. And by that time, there's a possibility I'm not going to be a grumpy old ratback. maybe I'm going to behave a bit more like Jesus because I've spent that time with him. It's so important, rooted and grounded in love. The third blessing that Paul prays over these Ephesians is verse 18, that they would have knowledge of Christ's love. That you'll have power together to grasp. Power together, did you get that? Together to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The real power I want to see an outbreak of in the church of Jesus. Yeah, you know, it'd be great to see the Holy Spirit poured out and healings and miracles and signs in the heavens. But the real power that we need, power that will keep us going all the way to heaven, is to grasp how wide and high and deep and long is the love of Christ. If we have that power, that revelation, that power from heaven that reveals to us how awesome that Jesus loved us enough to die for us. How amazing that he's risen from the dead. How glorious that he's coming back at the end of time to judge the world. And we're going to be seen as righteous, not because we deserve it, but because of what he did for us on the cross. If we get that, everything changes. What can the world do to us if we've got power to really understand how glorious Christ's love is? Would you let people in Eden Church this morning have a power encounter? A power encounter with the truth of your word. It's what we need if we're going to keep going all the way. Because unless we start to really understand how wide and high and deep and long is the love of Christ, once the earthquakes do come, once the hurricanes do come, they're just going to take us out. You know, we're going to be another one of the statistics. They were keen way back years ago, decades ago, but they've lost the plot because the stuff of life's been thrown at them and they're not truly rooted in Christ and they don't truly understand how amazing the love of Christ is. But if we do understand Christ's love in all its glory and all its fullness, in some ways nothing can touch you. Because we've got something bigger than this life to live for. Do you get me? And the yay, come on. Final thing. The final thing that Paul prays, the fourth thing he prays, is we climb this staircase, if you like, to another layer, another level of Christian living, operating in a place of faith and expectancy. The final thing he prays is that you would be filled up with Christ's goodness, that you may be filled, he says, to the measure of all the fullness of God. And Paul doesn't pray this thing under the, you know, a power of the Holy Spirit. He's writing these words from heaven. He prays it because it can happen. All the commands in Scripture can be turned into a promise. And the promise of God for people like me and you, ordinary people, is that we can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So I can be filled with Jesus. I can be filled with his Spirit, filled to overflowing. So my own puny attempts at goodness, they're going to fail every time, aren't they? My efforts to live right, they're going to fail every time. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And here in this place, as we press into Jesus, as we repent, as we experience his presence, so we come under his word, you can be that person. You can be that person who's filled to all the fullness of Christ. And you can become an unstoppable, beautiful, generous Christ follower that just blesses the socks off Penarth. Wherever you go, people meet Jesus because you're pouring out Jesus. Do you like the sound of it? Bring it on, Lord. And we're operating at a different level now because we've received the word of God. And Paul says, now you've got it. To him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's working in us, to him be the glory. Because this isn't for my glory. You know, it's not for our glory, it's for his glory. Because Jesus gets a lot of glory when ordinary people get filled to him and filled with him and start to change the world through him. He gets a lot of glory when people like me and you are transformed and people can see it. When he starts to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, he gets a lot of glory. This is all about his glory. In fact, I want to read something out just to wrap this up. I stumbled across this on the internet. It's called The Incomparable Christ. And it excited me, to be honest. And at the end of this, we're going to, you know, Gary said we were getting a little bit Pentecostal this morning. We're going to get a bit Pentecostal, it's all right. At the end of this, I want you to clap and I want you to cheer, whatever it looks like. I'm guessing some of you were sneakily watching the rugby this morning. I noticed various people got in about 20 to 11 and I thought, the rugby's just finished. And it was okay to chop. Clap and cheer and shout and scream over a rugby team. It was 29-25, by the way, to Wales. Just in case some of you are so godly you weren't even checking out. Your focus was on the house of God. Unlike Gary Smith, who had his video on his phone at the back. But we're allowed to cheer and shout over a rugby team, aren't we? But maybe we need sometimes to just get excited about our Jesus. Because it's to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. We're not just looking at winning a World Cup here. This is throughout all generations forever and ever. We're on the winning team forever and ever. We've got our generation, but our generation is just part of the purposes of God. That's going to reach the great climax when Jesus returns. We're going to be in heaven for all generations because Jesus says so. Because of his great love and he's amazing. So let me read this just to finish. It's called The Incomparable Christ. I love it. More than 1,900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He didn't travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived. That was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous. And he had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the waves as a pavement, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. He never wrote a book, and yet perhaps all the libraries in the world could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he's furnished the themes for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never practiced psychiatry, and yet he's healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Once each week, multitudes congregate at worshipping assemblies to pay homage and respect to him. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man multiplies more and more. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of his generation and the mockers at his crucifixion, he still lives. His enemies could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the one and only risen personal Savior, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hear a shout to King Jesus in Penarth this morning. King Jesus, the one and only Savior, the one who fulfills every promise of God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. We give you praise. You're true and you're wonderful and you're glorious. Just sit down for a moment because I'm going to ask you to stand actually in response. And the band are back, that means my time's up. But I'm going to ask you, if this morning you want to commit your lives fully to that risen Jesus, and you're standing before the Lord saying, from here on in, I want to move in the power of your Spirit. I want to carry your presence. I want to live at that next level. I want to believe what the Bible says. And this may be for you, you know, the first time you've ever stood like this. Maybe you've come in confused and frustrated. Maybe you're about to give up. Maybe you've come in, you don't even know if you're a Christian. You can stand before the Lord this morning and you can be adopted into his family. All God's promises are yes for you. You can be confident you go to heaven. That's how glorious it is. That's what we're talking about here. So if that's you this morning, you know, it can be a fresh commitment for a Christian or a brand new first time. Would you just stand before the Lord now? Stand before the Lord. If you need to stand and say yes to Jesus, come on. There's people here need to stand before the Lord. If you want to stand before the Lord, I want to move in the power of the Spirit. I'm going to wait a moment because I think there's people who need to stand before the Lord.
Yes,
yeah, that's
amen.
It. Come on. Come on. Stand before the Lord and say yes to Jesus. I want to move in the power of the Spirit. I want to live at a different level. I want to journey, kind of move up a staircase so I'm operating the next level. Anybody else? Before we sing a last song together. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Yeah,
yes,
beautiful.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. That's it. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I'm going to milk this for a moment or two because I think the Lord wants to do something.
Yeah.
Kind of like, wake up, church. Mm. Wake up to who you are in Christ. Mm. Yeah, fresh level of commitment, fresh desire, fresh passion. That's it. Come on. Before the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are just, that's it. The eyes of the Lord are just ranging this church, just looking for a heart. Somebody who's desperate, passionate, wants to live all out for the risen King Jesus. Anybody else want to stand up with these precious people? That's it. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we don't do this every week at Eden Penarth, but this is time. That's it. Come on, Lord. Show your power, Lord. Will you lead people to Christ? Yes, show your power. Show your power, Lord. Come on. Fill us to overflowing and send us out of this place different people. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine?
Yes,
according to your power at work in us. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord says if you ask for this good thing, there's no way he's going to give you a bad thing. Because he's a good, good Father. We sung about that, didn't we? Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. Come on, let's all stand. Let's just give the Lord one more round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.